This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yo, 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 yo! What is going on? What's the deal? What is going on to all my party people out there who are listening to me on the Yak? Thank you. Welcome back. You know what this is. This is Anwar Richardson, aka your drunk uncle. And you know what you're listening to? Your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast. Thank you for listening to me again. It's your first time listening to me. I hope you enjoy. Give me some time, man. Just give me some time. Give me a minute. It's going to take a minute to get into your pores and to permeate and to be something that you really enjoy. But I really feel like if you give me a shot and you give me a chance, you're definitely going to enjoy it. Because right now, I got to be honest with you. Your drunk uncle has been spitting some knowledge and some truth and has had you on point going into every single University of Texas game this season, to be honest with you, especially since we've been doing the Yak. I mean, it's really hard for me to point to something I've talked about midweek that hasn't come to fruition or been an issue during the game on Saturday, because y'all remember Kyler Murray. And you know, and the drunk uncle talked about the defense also right on Thursday. I mean, you talk about on time. So, we're going to get into all that in a second. Now, if this is your first time, if this is the first time listening to me, here's my pre-warning. It's all I got to tell you. Because you're thinking to yourself, man, listen, man, I know who Anwar is, man. Yeah, yeah, I've heard him on 104.9 The Horn with Chad and Kevin. Pretty funny guy. You know, he's a cool dude. I've heard him on the Orange Bloods podcast, you know. Not too bad. Kind of funny sometimes. This and that. You know, whenever he gets a chance to talk, not too bad. Or listen to the Facebook Live show. You know, something like that, the post-game show that we do with Ketch. Not too bad. Well, I just got to let you know. This is me, and it's different. Like, those things there, those other things that I mentioned, those are kind of like dates. You know, you just kind of go out on a date with someone. You don't really get to know them. You just get to know things about them, learn things about them, and you don't really know who the true person is. This podcast, this is like us living together. I mean, like, it is like us living together. It's like being in that relationship where you get to see the good, bad, and the ugly, where you get to see that beautiful woman who you took out to, like, to, you know, fix on a Saturday night. You took her to True Lux on a Friday night or something like that. That absolute beautiful woman who looks spectacular. And then the next morning, you see her without the makeup. That absolutely just amazing, amazing woman who you just took to a really, maybe took it to VY's one night, you know, just trying to do a little mat game and stuff. And then she just blows up the toilet in the morning. And you're just like, oh my God, how does that come out of that little body? Well, that's what we are. This unadulterated, unfiltered. And I'm just going to let you know, your drunk uncle does use profanity often. So I haven't done it yet, but it's coming. So you know the drill. If you're in this car, or you're in the car with the kids on and they're just listening to this thing and you want to hear a little Texas football while you're in the car with the kids, nope, not today. Or you better turn me down. Mom's in the car. You got to take over the HEB. Better not let mom listen to this. Better not let mom on the way to church in a week, something like that, midweek service, something like No, not the guy. Just not that dude. Better put on something else. Better put on some Kurt Franklin. Better put on some Stomp. Put on some Martha Menezes. Something. Fred Hammond. Somebody. Because I ain't that guy. I'm just for you. All right. And for the people who listen to me all the time, I want to say thank you. You know what I want to say. Welcome back. Oh, where's my singing career going to start? I mean, I just feel it in my bones. Like, I just need to be, you know what? I don't even need to be signed by anybody, because nowadays with YouTube, I can assign myself. I just upload my own videos and just become famous. And I just be like, fuck this place. I'm fucking out because I'm fucking rich and famous. Probably never happened. And my voice isn't that good. I'm actually battling like a little bit of a cold. Everything's, you know, it's just that time of year. Everything's going on and in the house and stuff like that. So I'm battling. You're going to hear me coughing a little bit. You're going to hear me trying to clear my throat. It's going to be kind of nasty at times. Just ignore it. It's okay. I'm talking about some other shit that I want to ignore, though. My ex. Oh, my God. Dude. Listen to this shit. My ex-wife, a.k.a. my baby mama. But I really want to call her my baby mama because we were married, right? So, you know, but my ex-wife, right? Okay. We have our oldest son together. You guys know about Maximus. You know, he's five, going to be six pretty soon. And November's here, right? Holidays. This is holiday time. Like for me, like November, we flip that calendar. Like we're really starting to go towards the holidays. And I know people would say, you know, Halloween. We talked about that the other week. And Halloween's really start. But for me, it's like November, because now we start talking about Thanksgiving. But really, we know Christmas is around the corner. We know Black Friday is just a couple of weeks away, right? I mean, so there's a lot of things to think about and prepare about and start thinking about, hey, man, where you gonna put the Christmas trees up there? Start buying presents for the kids, you know, all those type of things. That's starting to become a reality for all of us, right? You start thinking about, okay, what we're going to do from the gift-giving perspective, maybe what we're going to donate, you know, when we're going to, you know, purchase kids. Huh. That would be weird for Christmas. Purchase gifts for underprivileged kids. Could you imagine just buying kids? Like, that would be odd, just going to Walmart and just buying kids. That would be, then again, you don't want to Walmart kids. Shit. That place, you don't want to deal with the people at Walmart, let alone buy the kids if they got them on stock. If you're going to buy kids, you got to buy from Amazon, have that bitch delivered in like 2 days, hope they poke a hole in the box. Anyway, so I asked her innocently, you know, because she does the Santa thing, right? She likes to do that Santa thing, right? Because she's a Christmas freak. She's a Christmas thing. And I'm not going to put her on business on blast, because one of you guys are going to go back to her, and I'm going to have to hear her damn mouth, and I want to hear her on that, all right? We're actually in a good place where we're actually not trying to kill each other. So don't sabotage it. Don't go snitching on me. Don't be a snitch. Let it go. So anyway, I'm asking her, like, yo, it was on Saturday, right? I'm like, listen, Christmas is coming around, man. Are you still going to do the Santa thing with a son? And she's like, yes. I was like, all right, because I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what to do. Because, look, I'm not a Santa guy. Like, I'm really not a Santa guy. And listen, I know I told you guys I grew up in a really religious household, really religious background and stuff like that. My mom actually went along with Santa. But I remember what it was like when I found out that Santa wasn't real. And that was kind of like just a gut punch. And it kind of sucked. And I was like, man, I've really been lied to. Like, I've been lied to for a long time. I felt some type of way about the whole situation. So I've never really, 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 really been into Santa. Just not my thing, right? And so, but she likes it. And I just don't like this dude taking the credit. Now, I work hard. I work 7 days a week. I mean, so I don't need this dude in some suit who is possibly a pedophile. Oh, Santa's a pedophile, man. Why the hell he's always got to be around kids? I think that Mrs. Claus thing is his beard and the other beard, not the white beard on him. But why are you always going to be around kids, Santa? Why every kid got to sit in your lap, Santa? Why are you just spying on the kids, Santa? Like, why? Santa is creepy, all right? The whole concept of Santa is he's some dude who's rolling around. Like, as long as kids do what he says, then all of a sudden, like, Santa's going to break them off with some gifts. But he's making a list, he's checking it twice, and he's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Like, that sounds like a threat. And y'all just let this dude threaten your kids, right? So I really bump Santa. I'll just be honest with you. Like, bump Santa. Like, I don't give a shit about Santa. But she wants to do Santa, right? So I'm in this quandary, right? Because I don't wanna do Santa. And I really don't wanna lie to my kid. Like, listen, if you guys do Santa Claus, that's fine. Do Santa, do you. You know, have him. I've sang the songs and stuff like that. I like, yeah, I sang the songs. I'm not saying I had a deprived childhood and not, nothing like that. But I feel like I could give my kid gifts without the whole Santa myth. Like, I just feel like we can accomplish that. At the end of the day, you're still getting gifts. Does it matter if it came from a guy from the North Pole who There's just no way he could cover every single house in a night. Just think about it. So anyway, so she's telling me that, you know, well, you know, the girls in the house say that Santa isn't real and they tease him about it. And so, but they're still doing the Santa thing. And I'm just like, well, technically Santa isn't real. So it's not like the girls are telling him something that's not true. So I don't know. Like, I feel like what I got to do is this. I feel I'm going to do this like this. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. You guys DM me, hit me up on my email. You guys know how to reach me, right? I'm easy to find. Like, if someone wants to take me out, I'm real easy to find, right? But I'm thinking like this. I'm going to tell my son that Santa's like real busy this year. So I'm going to buy him all the gifts in my house. And then, like, if Santa shows up, he's going to drop his stuff off at his mom's house. This way, in 2 years, when he realizes that somebody's been lying to him, it ain't going to be me. You know what I'm saying? You can have that conversation with mom and know mom is a big-faced liar. I mean, you could know that mom told you that bullshit about Santa. But dad didn't do it. Now, here's the other thing that was weird. Here's the other thing that was weird. I don't know what it was. So on Saturday, right? I'm driving home from the game, right? We did our Facebook live post and everything, and all is good. And I get a message from the ex-wife, right? And I'm gonna read it to you. Let me see if I can find this. So it's at 8:28 p.m. And this is the text message. Unsolicited. Don't even know where I know you are. I'm just going to read it to you. Just listen to this bullshit and know what I dealt with. And now you can understand why we got divorced. She goes, ha ha, take that, UT, with a laughing face emoji. Now, I'm trying to figure out what the hell is this all about? Because where is this shit coming from? So here's the deal. Here's the background, right? So my ex, she got remarried, right? She got remarried pretty quickly. I like to do so. I had no problems with him. Like, we had problems in the beginning because, you know, I didn't know who he was, you know, check him out, you know, test him as a man, you know, make sure his heart don't pump no Kool-Aid. And then once I realized he's all right, he's going to be cool with my kid, you know, for the most part. I say for the most part because you know who I am, you know. But for the most part, you know, I let them go. I let them be. You know, she and I beef out, but he and I don't get into anything, right? And I'm like, I'm trying to figure out, I'm like, you become an Oklahoma fan. So here's the thing, right? Her husband is from Oklahoma and her husband is an OU fan. So now she has decided that she's an OU fan, right? Like, how you from Florida and now you just claiming Oklahoma while you living in Austin? Like, what kind of crap is this? So I'm like, and I said, you become an Oklahoma fan. I was like, you better than that. And then she responds back. You know what she responds back with? I'm serious. Like, this is what I deal with. This is what I deal with. You know what she responds back with? Boomer Sooner. Exactly. Exactly. Are you serious right now? So I'm like this. Do I need to go back to my attorney and file for sole custody? Right? That's what I'm thinking right now. Like, I don't know what kind of household you were raising our son in. Clearly, there's meth in the damn house because you're claiming Oklahoma, right? Clearly, you guys have no dental plan in the damn house if you're going to claim Oklahoma. Clearly, y'all going to be wearing overalls and stuff if you're going to claim Oklahoma, right? This is what's going on. Oh, my God. Y'all going to move my son into a trailer. Is that what's about to happen? I'm sorry. I cannot stand back and let this happen. I must interject. I must intercede right now. So, guys, I'm like this. My son doesn't own any UT gear. He doesn't. He does because, you know, I try to do the reporter thing. You know what I'm saying? And like, I'm trying to just be objective about the whole type of situation. But now I feel like I have to pour into my son. Like, I feel like this is a very important part of his life right now. Like, I got to make sure that she doesn't corrupt him and have him go over to the dark side, the meth side, the OU side. Ugh. Don't they only have school like 4 days a week in Oklahoma? Like, seriously. This is what you're gonna try to have my son claim? Oh, hell no. When I say that, I say hell no. So outside of that, you know, for your boy, I had to go to church. I needed religion. You know, so I did go to church on Sunday. I did. I went to, and I'll never tell you what church I go to. I go to Summit Worship Center. It's in Austin off of Anderson Mill Road. It's between like 620 and 183. It's somewhere in there. I think it's like in a plaza where Austin Regional Clinic is. There's a Hoppin' Happy. This, only parents know about this thing. Like only parents know where every bouncy house is. Like that's a parent talk, right? Like if I told any of my single friends, excuse me, if somebody had my single friends like, hey man, you know what Catch Air is? They'd have no clue what the hell I was talking about. Not a one. Hey man, you know what Mount Playmore is? What? A Mount Playmore? What? Now if it's just Starbucks, for sure. If you knew where the drinking spots, for sure, right? But if I named like a bouncy place, like, hey man, you want to hang out? You gonna bring the Jump Street? You know where Jump Street is? Want to meet by there and then go somewhere? Jump Street? What the hell? 21 Jump Street? What the hell is that? No. See, that's it. But anyway, I went to church. Shout outs to Pastor Eric and Andrea Moore. Had a really good time with the family. Took the family there. Then just chilled out. Watched football most of the afternoon. Went to bed early because just, you know, really tired. And I know I have a long week ahead. And I knew we got to talk about these Longhorns. Oh, man, what did your drunk uncle talk to you about in our last podcast? It was the dirty little secret. The dirty little secret was Texas's defense isn't as good as it was last year. And we got into it, right? I mean, your drunk uncle ain't telling you no lies. That's what I have to emphasize it and go slang so you understand. When I say your drunk uncle ain't telling you no lies, that means I had to go back to my southern roots to explain it to you. I can't do articulate it because the thing that I focused on last week in my podcast, Orange Buzz Podcast, was this defense. It ain't good. It just ain't. And if you say it's not good, it's just not. You can say it's not good enough. I know people like to split hairs. People don't like that stuff. You know, I'm like, oh, don't say the defense isn't good. Well, okay, fine. It's not good enough. Can we say that? I know we can agree on that. And the subject that we talked about, or at least I talked about, because clearly I'm here by myself, the subject that I talked about ended up being the biggest topic of the weekend. We were in it first. Hey, you should have been able to go to your friends and your family on that Thursday or that Friday and said, listen, man, you know what I think? You could just steal my shit. I don't care. Or you could credit me, which would be even better. Man, the defense is going to be really the thing that tells the tale of this game. Because, and you would have had all the stats that I gave you. Because I went into it, right? I started talking about the turnovers, how this defense only has 11 turnovers and had 17 last year. Well, they still only got 11. And then we talked about the third down percentage, the completion percentage against this defense. And then we talked about the fourth down completion percentage against this defense. We talked about how third downs, opponents were completing and entering this game, 39% of the third downs and 62.5% of the fourth downs. Like, we had that. We knew that. And by the way, the number really isn't getting better because I looked it up before our podcast here. Texas, as far as third down conversions, as far as opponents are concerned, as far as his defense is concerned, giving up 40.7% on third down conversions. It's actually gone up a little bit. That's sixth in the Big 12. Fourth down conversions, giving up 58.8% on fourth down. That's tied for eighth.
tied for eighth in the Big 12. To give you a comparison, because I was like, okay, let me show you, just give you a comparison so you understand like what we're talking about, what we're dealing with here. This on the flip side, Texas Tech, ironically, is first in this fourth down category, right? They're giving up 33.3%, 5 out of 15 this year, as far as fourth down conversions are concerned. Texas is at 58.8%, nearly 60%, 6 out of 10. It's almost guaranteed. And this is the problem. I wrote about this in the Sunday Pulpit. And listen, we could talk about something else, but why? Why? Let's just keep the main topic about the main topic, right? It's kind of like when you are having an argument with your spouse and then all of a sudden someone starts talking about something else that's not even about the main topic. And we're like, why are we talking about my mama? Like, why are you bringing up my mama in her limp right now in this damn argument? Like, my mama got nothing to do with this. My mama been nothing but nice to you. She made that macaroni and cheese the last time she was here, and you said you liked it. So why are you talking about my mama? Okay, flashback. Calm down. Okay, I'm good now. So, here's the problem. You're saying there's just one? But no, here's the problem. Let's start with the overall look. Sorry for that snot, by the way. Ugh, I thought I hit pause. I thought I did. I'm sorry. But listen, man, it's a grown man podcast. It just is what it is, man. This is what we do. At least I didn't spit it. When you look at this defense, though, there's only 3 games left. So it's easy to say, well, listen, they just need to make a couple of changes on defense and things will be okay. Guys, this is 9 games into the season. There are no more changes to really be made. There are no more alterations. There's nothing that you can really teach in the season. We talked about this last week, but you can't just teach in the season. You can't say, hey, as we're preparing for Tech and we're trying to get scout team looks and we're trying to run a certain amount of set plays that we think is going to be successful. Oh, yeah, by the way, can we teach you how to tackle? That's an off-season thing. That's what the off-season's for. That's what the spring ball is for. That's what the summer is for. That's what training camp is for. That's what that is for. It's not for week 9, week 10, heading into Texas Tech to say, oh, yeah, by the way, tackling is important, and you should do it. Can I sidebar for a second? I want to get back into this. Can I sidebar for a second, though? I saw something so funny this weekend. Speaking of tackling, so I used to work in Tampa. You guys know this, right? There's a guy by the name of Martin Finley who was a columnist there, and he covered the USF game and USF getting their ass handed to them by Tulane, 41-15. Can I tell you what my favorite line of his story was? He goes, if Strong, he's talking about Charlie Strong. He said, if Strong wasn't 7-1 heading into Saturday and 17-3 at USF, he'd be on the way out. Instead, he is stuck here, far from the Power 5, sentenced for the foreseeable future to life at USF, and, as with Saturday, slow death. Damn, that's gangster. Okay. Anyway, just a sidebar, because when you start thinking about bad defenses, it harkens you back and gives you some PTSD about Charlie Strong. Because it's the one thing that we just did not anticipate or expect going into the season. And now you're sitting here, you wake up, and you're saying, oh my God, this defense is just not good. Not good enough. And you're at a point right now that you can't teach guys what to do. And, you know, there's problems on this defense. And I know that you don't want to, you know, you never want to individualize guys and just call guys. I understand that there is in college. So let me be very careful on how I word what I'm going to say. So if I'm intentional with my speech right now, just know that it's intentional. It's on purpose. PJ Locke has struggled when I've seen him out there. I mean, pass coverage, tackling. I'm not quite sure what's happening right now, but I think even PJ Locke would say he's not playing some of his best ball. I look at Brandon Jones before the injury, which I still got to find out. I've heard some things. I'm still trying to clarify it. But Brandon Jones, you know, he had a tough game against Oklahoma State. You had a feeling that he could rebound and would be rebound, but he gets injured in the hotel, and then he doesn't play. You know, Caden Stearns, I think he's starting to hit that freshman wall that you always hear about. And I just think now that there's accumulation. There was one play where Caden just let a guy run past him. And you're just thinking to yourself, you do know you're the safety, right? Because there's no one that's behind you. And if you let someone run behind you, bad things are going to happen. And bad things did happen. Anthony Wheeler, I feel, you know, just doesn't seem like he's in the right place at the right time. I don't know if he's thinking about it too much, but he just seems to have guys that are going around him. Gary Johnson, spurts, but nothing consistent right now. I mean, Charles Omenihu arguably has been one of the best defenders, at least consistent, but he was doubled in the past game. He was getting chip blocked, and, you know, he just wasn't able to get off the way that he can get off or do this ways, things that he can do. You know, I'm not going to fault some of the young guys. I thought Anthony Cook wasn't that bad when he was in there, so I have no problems with Anthony Cook, but it just, the defense itself, there's just so many little fundamental things and little fundamental errors that you're seeing. And it's just, it's surprising if a lot of it falls back on Todd Orlando. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is his defense. And we give Todd Orlando all the praise when his defense does well. And we say Todd Orlando deserves to get a raise after one season. And you can bump him up to where he's at now. It is beyond fair to then say, like, Todd, then you have to get someone to blame. I mean, this is. And we can question the formation. We can question. This is going to be just an amazing podcast. I'm just knocking shit over and everything. We can question, you know, going 3-3-5, which, you know, one poster says, you know, it's not really 3-3-5. It's more like 3-2-5 because, you know, the linebackers aren't doing what they need to do. And look, there's an argument, and I think there's a safe argument to be made about possibly even switching to maybe more of a 4-3 because there's definitely things that is being done that you in the 3-3-5 that you can't necessarily do, you know, in a 4-3. But I don't know if Todd Orlando's willing to do that. I don't know if Todd Orlando's willing to change. I don't know if Todd Orlando's willing to scrap what he's doing right now and try to find a way or find something different. But, I mean, you know, outside zone doesn't usually work against a four-down lineman, right? Counter probably won't work either against if you got four-down linemen and then you got your three right there. It's something to think about, but obviously coaches are going to do what they feel like is best. You know, well, that's fine. I mean, his prerogative, it's his choice, it's his defense. He's just got to live with the results. Now, here's the crazy thing. That's the crazy thing about the season, and this is one of the reasons why it gives me caution, it gives me a little bit of pause. When you look at the average margin of defeat by Texas this year, it just added up. It's 3 points. I mean, just think about the average margin of defeat this year is 3 points. I think last year it was like 7. So it's a weird thing, and it's a weird exercise where we start talking about Texas, and we start talking about the games that have been lost. And yes, it does seem like it's life or death. And then you realize that every game has been incredibly close. And look, I get it. I know it. Close only counts in what? You know, horseshoes and hand grenades. Nobody wants damn close. Nobody wants second place. I absolutely get that. But it is important for that distinction to be made so that we understand. If we are riding, are we turning over the tables? Are we punching walls and holes in walls, Andy Bernard? Like, is this what we're doing? Or are we saying, okay, you don't like it. It looks bad. It could be better, but it could also be worse. Let's just look at this overall. Because overall, the defense is definitely struggling. Like when Devin Duvernay scored that touchdown, and I looked up at the clock, and I realized there was like, what was it, like 238, 234, something like that, 234 left on the clock. I was like, uh-oh, too much time. And I knew it was going to happen. And you knew it was going to happen. You knew it. You just knew in your heart. And then when West Virginia got down, they got down close, and they scored, you weren't surprised. You weren't surprised by that. And then when West Virginia decided to go for two, and you thought to yourself, big balls. I mean, big balls. And then they convert on a run play to the left, which, golly, it seems like Oklahoma State did the same exact play. I don't know. Here's my thing. I don't know what can be done 9 games into the season. I just don't. I don't know how many alterations can be made. At this point, it's almost like hoping for the best. And that's the scary thing. And that's the scary thing. You're a Texas fan right now. And this has got to be the nerve-wracking thing. Because when you're talking about Tech, Iowa State, and Kansas, if we're just going to keep it 100, like we always do on this podcast, and let's not bullshit each other, Texas could lose the next two. And that ain't good. You know, needless to say, that ain't good for anybody. That's one of the things I wrote about in my Sunday Pulpit was you as a Texas fan have to start coming to grips and start thinking about something. Like, you really, this is your homework assignment. I don't want you to just jump and just answer this without just fully just thinking this out. But I want you to just take a minute, and then I'm going to just ask you this. What outcomes are you going to be okay with from a record standpoint? Okay, Texas is sitting at 6-3. They win the next three. Let's see, even if they don't go to the bowl game, they win the next three, they finish the regular season 9-3. As a Texas fan, are you happy with that? I think overall you would be. I think most people would be okay with that. 9 wins with the possibility for 10 in a bowl game. It's not a bad season. Not a bad season at all. What if they only win 2 out of the next 3, though? And let's talk about that. What that looks like. 8-4. Now, going from 6-1 to 8-4, how do you feel about that? That means they split 1 of the next 2. We're just, for argument, the sake of this argument, in the sake of this demonstration, let's just count Kansas as a win. I can't do this again. I can't do a Kansas loss again. I don't think I am built for a Kansas loss. I haven't started exercising yet. I plan to, but I just don't think my heart and my body is built for a Kansas loss. So 8-4, what does that look like for you? I think you would take it, but I don't necessarily think you would love it. Let's keep going. 7-5. Meaning the only win is against Kansas. That would also mean Texas dropped 4 straight games after starting the season 6-1. 7-5, heading more towards a disappointment territory, right? I'm assuming that's safe. How do you feel about that? Okay, doomsday. 6-6. I mean, there's no holidays at your house, is there? I mean, that day after Thanksgiving ends up being the most pissed that you have been in a really, well, I'll say long time, about 2 years. But at least with your Kansas loss a couple of years ago, you knew that it was just the end for Charlie, and that's all that mattered, and that you're going to get another coach. That won't mark the end for Tom Herman, but it will definitely bring a lot of questions. So I don't foresee 6-6. Let's take 6-6. We said it, for full disclosure. It was mentioned. You know, we didn't ignore it. So let's just take 6-6 off the table. And we're now going to be in a range of 7-5 to 9-3. I think before the season, I don't have it in front of me. I think before the season, I'm somewhere around the 8-win mark. So if they finish with 8, it would be about what I expected. Some of you probably had around 8 or 9. If you're 1 game off, then it is what it is, kind of what you expected. It's
it's interesting because this is how I feel. I kind of communicated this in my column. I'm gonna say it a little bit differently. Man, Texas can't worry about this fucking defense right now, dude. Their strength is their offense, and they got to ride with their offense. Now, it just, you can't make a ton of in-season adjustments. You have to ride with what your strength is. And the strength is the offense. And honestly, they have to view the next couple of games. And this is going to sound crazy. Because I don't know, I don't think the coaching staff is really ready to admit or say that, you know, this defense can't be fixed or is not salvageable in some ways. Like, I get it because the defense was good last year, number one in the Big 12. So I get it. But right now, they've got approaches like Texas Tech would. Screw it. Score as many points as possible. That means not being conservative. That means, you know, if you're down there short, you're in the red zone, and it's fourth down, you're going for it. Period. There's no field goals. There's nothing conservative anymore. Your goal is 50 every game. Arena football, you tell Sam Ehlinger, don't make dumb decisions, but you're going to pass this ball 50 times a game. Sorry. That's what we're going to do. We're going to air it out. Now, you got a good run game. Trey Watson looked like Marshawn Lynch for a second. Do you remember? I was like, who the hell is this? The hell got into this little man? I mean, he looked like Marshawn for a second. I'm like, okay, Trey Watson trying to do the damn thing. They got Keontae, got a good ground game. I get it. And I just say, use that ground game to set up the pass and go for it. Run vert every time. And vert doesn't mean it. So, you know, vert doesn't mean that everybody runs straight. There's breakoffs in your vert routes, okay? I just don't want anyone to just be like, what are you going to think of doing? Running Hail Marys the entire time? Like, it's not Hail Marys the entire time. This is not Madden. This is football. Totally different. Like, just make sure we're all on the same page. But I think Texas has to look and say, listen, Sam Ehlinger is our guy. Little Jordan Humphrey had 9 receptions, 143 yards, 1 touchdown. I mean, Devin Duvernay had 6 for 100 and a touchdown. You know, Colin Johnson was a little bit quieter at 4 for 27. I just think you got to throw them at him. I just think you just throw these guys out there and say make plays. Because, look, we'll talk about this later in this week, but, I mean, Texas Tech is going to put up points. Even if they put that really kind of average backup quarterback out there, Jet Duffy, right? Because when Alan Bowman went out that game, and, you know, he came out for halftime against Oklahoma, and then something was wrong, and he just left. And then, the partially collapsed lung is what happened. And I guess, you know, Cliff Kingsbury still being coy about the guy's opportunity or potential to play. I'm not a doctor. I just play one on my podcast. But I'm just going to say, if you have a lung injury, you're not playing the next week. I mean, do I have to go to med school to figure that out or not? Because I'm just thinking, like, if you had to go to the hospital, something due to a partially collapsed lung, like, I'm pretty sure, like, breathing is essential to life, and breathing might be essential. You might really, 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 really need it if you're playing football. I mean, I heard you just may need it to live, which is cool. But I just, you know, football, when you have to run around and do certain things and then put more strain on the lungs, I imagine if you are unable to breathe, you're probably unable to play. And I imagine that's just not a thing that recovers and that you would just recover from in like 7 days. Doesn't seem right. So I'm going to guess that he's not going to play. And that means that Jet Duffy is going to be in there. And Jet Duffy was pretty damn average. I was really surprised when I saw this guy play how average he was. However, he will have a week to practice with the ones. Texas Tech isn't really known for the past few years putting out crappy quarterbacks and putting out crappy QBs on the field. He can run, and clearly, if you look at the past couple of weeks, any halfway mobile quarterback has given Texas some problems, and it's going to be a night game. So obviously it's going to be a hostile crowd that's going to be out there. Nothing you can take for granted from a Texas standpoint or Texas side. And that's where I'm like, Texas, you just got to look at Sam Ellinger and say, man, it is your show. Do with it what you want. Bring home the victory, though. That's the bottom line, and that's what I'm seeing. I think it's got to be all about the O and hope for the best on defense. That's what I think. It's all about the O, hope for the best on defense, and if you can just go total Big 12. Like, this is where you have to say, man, we are in the Big 12. And because the other thing, too, is they're down certain guys. You know, you don't know if Hager's going to play, and Hager wasn't having the biggest impact either, but you don't know what Hager's going to play. You don't know if Brandon Jones is going to play. We won't know none of these things until, you know, later on in the week. When you know there's injuries and Devontae Davis has an injury, and there's a certain amount of guys that may not play on defense, and the guys who are playing are struggling, man, that's when you just got to go for broke. And I'm just saying, I think if Texas has to look at games now and saying 40 is the base, and they've got to go higher than that to win. Now, obviously, you just got to score more points than the next team, but we've seen what has happened really since the fourth quarter of the Oklahoma game. We've really had a chance to see that this defense has struggled. But look, all's not lost. Let's start to wrap this up. All's not lost. I mean, if Texas could get to 9 wins and then also get to 10, it's a great season. It's going to be remembered as a fantastic season. But the narrative of the season will be determined over the next 3 games. And it's up to Tom Herman to find a way. It's up to Todd Orlando to stop the bleeding, or at least slow it down some. And it's going to be up to this team to stay united and to put things together, because this is losers of 2 straight. And forget Big 12 championship game. We're not even talking about that. Even though I have my reservations, I haven't canceled them yet. But, those things don't matter. What really matters is Tom Herman said, well, they need to go 1-0. Well, damn it, they need to go 1-0 against Texas Tech. And get some momentum to close out the season. Because if not, it will be viewed as a disappointing season. Texas fans won't be as happy, won't be as excited. I mean, you know you'll get more excited around springtime, but it will still leave a bad taste in the mouth. But if this offense can deliver and do the things that we know they can do and what they are capable of, suddenly the narrative may change. And I definitely won't have to hear my ex say some of just the foulest things. She said a lot of things when we were together. Stuff she's saying now, I want to get divorced again. And on that note, we're going to stay married. Because what I say, we're in this relationship, baby. And you're in a relationship with your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast. I am your Drunk Uncle Amar Richardson. I ain't going nowhere. You don't go anywhere. Make sure you check me out later on this week. I will have all types of news and notes and all types of chock full of stuff. Make sure you check out our War Room if you missed it. A lot of great, solid information that's in there. My Sunday Pulpit's up. Catch 10 stuff for the weekend. Everybody's going to have columns going up. Make sure you just check out all the fantastic content, not only on Orange Bloods. Check out the Yak. Make sure you check out Catch and Iron, a post-game show. Lots of good things. Season's not over. Don't give up. Stay with it, because who knows, there may be some great things to report over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be on the defense, but definitely going to be on that O. Until then, only the letters that matter are 3 of them. See ya.